North Shore 104.9 WBOQ Gloucester. And streaming worldwide on the North Shore 104.9 app.
The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant in Peabody. Friedman Financial has been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. Hard to believe it's been almost 52 years since my father started our firm frankly, in the basement of our home in Peabody. I was 2 years old at the time when financial planning and investment management advice was something that many people didn't even seek at the time. And that's because many people in the 60s and the 70s were working for companies where the company that they worked for provided them with a pension, provided them with a guaranteed income in retirement if they agreed to work for the company for a certain number of years. Well, that world has certainly changed, hasn't it? And we have fast-forwarded now 50 years, and Friedman Financial has grown and been able to serve so many different families and so many generations of families, providing them with guidance, especially during their retirement years, on where to draw money and how best to use it to support their life in retirement. And frankly, that's because retirement looks far different from what retirement looked like through the lens of our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents. In fact, take a look around your living room and you look at pictures of, with Thanksgiving coming up, maybe there's pictures of the whole family sitting around the dining room table celebrating Thanksgiving. And you look at the folks there, and many of those pictures are, in fact, even in black and white. And you look at those people and you go, man, they looked old. They look really old. And then you think to yourself, oh my goodness, I'm older than they were in those pictures. And frankly, I think we're looking pretty good. I think we're healthier. We're more active. Medical science has allowed us to certainly prolong our life far further than many of the generations before us. We're more independent. We're more willing to make our own decisions and do our own thing, as opposed to living within the constraints of what the company said, or following the company line, or doing what was necessary so that we didn't mess up getting that pension in retirement. Sure, life is a lot different today than it was back then. And here at Friedman Financial, we want to try to be that firm that provides you with the guidance, with the advice, with the direction that you need to live the life that you want in retirement. And you can do it. It's interesting. Many of our clients that we see, and we have 450 households that we serve right now at Friedman Financial. We manage close to $500 million. And honestly, our clients are not the wealthiest clients here on the North Shore. They are middle to upper middle income folks, people who have worked hard. They've put money aside. Maybe they've helped their kids out a little bit with education costs or buying a new home. They've lived in their home for 20 years or more. They've held a middle to upper middle management job. And now they're thinking to themselves, oh my goodness, I'm in retirement, or I'm approaching retirement. And now I'm faced with this big decision as to what am I going to do once the paycheck stops? Well, you and I might feel comfortable with those questions and know that those are coming, but I did something very interesting this past week, something that I've been doing for the past 9 years at North Andover High School. I had the opportunity to visit with Mr. Oberlander's class. Mr. Oberlander teaches a lot of the business courses at North Andover High School, and the school runs on a trimester schedule. So once a trimester, I go and speak to, yes, they have personal finance classes at the school. There's usually two of them each trimester, and there's about 30 students or so, 25 to 30 students in each class. And their job over the course of the trimester is to build what Mr. Oberlander calls a 10-year plan. They ask them to imagine what life will be like when they are 28 years old, because they're probably 17 or 18 years old. So he says, I want you to look out 10 years. I want you to imagine what your life will be like at 28. How do you plan for it? Where do you want to be? What do you hope to accomplish? Because most students today, if you know your children, they're not thinking like that. They're thinking about living in the moment, getting stuff done today. What am I going to do within the next 10 minutes, not within the next 10 hours, 10 weeks, 10 months, or 10 years? And what Mr. Oberlander talks about in this personal finance class at North Andover High School is how to manage the income that you're likely to be collecting, because perhaps now you'll be out of college. You'll be maybe working in your first or your second job. You'll be wondering about paying rent or a mortgage. Maybe you'll want to start saving for your future. Maybe you'll need automobile insurance and car insurance and all those other things. What will you do? Where will you have that kind of stuff in your life? And so he asks some really great questions. He talks about Roth IRAs and IRAs and checking accounts and debit cards and credit cards. And so each year he asks me to come in and do a real life story for the kids. Give them a taste of what it would be like if they were really living at 28 years old. And so oftentimes I walk into the class and I'd like to think it's a highly anticipated moment when we get there, because the kids really look forward to it. They're very ambitious. They're very conversational, but they like to listen and they love the stories because, you know, years ago, talking about money was one of those taboo issues, and maybe it still is in your house. I mean, when you were growing up, did you know how much mom or dad made for a living? Did you know what the mortgage cost? Did you know the electric bill? Probably not. And today, you know, I'm not so sure people are talking about it much either, but I think we're beginning to expose our children to the fact that things cost a lot of money. Certainly college does, that's for sure. And so I'll walk into the class and I'll ask them the first question. I said, all right, I want you to imagine something. You're 10 years out. What do you think you'll be making for an income 10 years out? And interestingly, the kids, they're really not sure what to say and how to respond to that, because they sometimes think on an hourly basis, sometimes they think on a salary basis. Some will say $12 an hour or $15 an hour. Some will say $40,000 a year, and others will say $100,000. They really don't know where they're coming up with that. And so then I say, well, let's try to frame this a little bit better for you. Did you know that the U.S. Census Bureau puts out a report a few times a decade to talk about what income looks like in America? And I said, would you be surprised to learn that the average household income, meaning maybe there's a married couple, two kids, average household income in America in 2018, this is last year's survey, is $62,000. That's what the average household income is in America. So I said, that means that 50% of Americans that fall into that household income category make less than that amount of money, and the other 50% make more. And I said, is that a lot of money? And we break it down. When the kids start to see what it means by a weekly income or a monthly income, they're like, oh my goodness, that would be amazing. And yes, it would be amazing if you were 28 years old and you were living by yourself or perhaps even living at home. But is that enough money? Is $62,000 for a household enough to support a family here in Massachusetts? So we begin to talk about what life is like across America and the fact that different parts of the region have different income levels. In fact, in Massachusetts, the average household income When you compare it to America, to total of America, which is 62,000, the average household income in Massachusetts is not 62,000, but $73,000 a year. That's the average household income. And then I asked them, we start pulling out some cities and towns. And because we're in North Andover, I asked them, what do you think the average household income is in Lawrence, Massachusetts? That's $39,000. But in North Andover, it's $82,000. And in Beverly, it's $81,000. In Danvers, it's $84,000. And many of the suburban communities, many of them that tune into this radio station, see an average household income of around 82 or somewhere in the 80s of thousands of dollars. In fact, Linfield happens to have the highest average household income at $114,000 on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley area. Well, that kind of surprises the kids. And so I said to them, all right, let's talk about what life would be like when you're 28 years old. I said, how many of you intend to be out of your house, maybe right out of college, but certainly by age 28, moved out of your house? And interestingly, only about half the hands in the room go up. Now, I know you and I will remember the days when we were in high school, and we thought to ourselves, oh my goodness, when I'm 18 or when I'm done with college, I can't wait to get out of the house. I'll live in a cardboard box if I have to. I need my independence. I want to be on my own. And so we start talking with the kids about, why is it that you want to live at home? And they say, oh, I want to live at home to save money. I'm not so sure that's really the case. I think more kids want to live at home because it's easy. Someone's taking care of stuff for them. Yeah, it's not as expensive. They don't have to lay out money, but I don't know that they're really saving money. I think the society today, those kids in their 20s, they're going out and spending money like never before because they're really not thinking about, oh, I need to save money to move out, or I need to save money because I don't want to have to pay, because I'd have to pay rent or food costs or anything like that at home. All that stuff's taken care of. The laundry, someone's cutting the lawn, someone's shoveling the driveway, someone's helping me with the phone bill, someone's paying for cable. But instead, what I have to do is I can go out with my friends. I can go out for drinks with my friends, go out to nice restaurants where I don't mind blowing $100 between food and drinks. I don't mind going to these nice nightclubs where it's a $30, $40, $50 cover charge, or where I can go to a bar where the martinis start at $15. Or I just want to go out and celebrate all the time and just go out and have fun and buy money, buy expensive clothes and buy fancy shoes and buy a nice handbag and all that kind of stuff. There has to be a time, though, when we take ownership, when we take responsibility for what we're going to do. And so during the class, we begin to explore, what does it cost? What does it cost to live on your own? And when we get back, I got to take a quick break, but when we get back, I want to share with you the example that I use with the kids and the conversation that I have with these kids in high school about what it costs to live on your own and how it really opens their eyes, and what one of the most surprising things and aha moments that comes from our conversation. But I'll share that with you when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
For retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, 2 E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had a million dollars.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley, the Southern New Hampshire area, since 1968. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning needs, I really hope you'll give us a call. Our phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. I don't know about you, but my favorite holiday is coming up this week. It's Thanksgiving. It's one of those opportunities where you get together with folks you want to hang out with. I mean, it's your family. It's, there's this thing, I guess, called Friendsgiving as well that I guess has been going on the past couple weekends. And Friendsgiving is built around people. They say, you know, you can pick your friends, you can't pick your family. So a Friendsgiving event is something where you do with a bunch of people you want to hang out with. And Thanksgiving is an event where you hang out with people you have to hang out with. I don't quite look at it that way. I mean, I like my family. I like hanging out with them, and it's always great to have the kids back home. And we even invite some friends over as well that don't have a place to go for Thanksgiving. Perhaps their family is out of town, or there's a new family that's moved into town and they're away from their family. I think Thanksgiving is one of the best holidays. All you do is you sit around, you just talk, and you eat, and hopefully you leave your phones at the door. And I will encourage you this year, if you're thinking of having family over, if you could have the guts to have a basket that is sitting at your front door that says something like, "Thanks for coming. We hope you'll leave your technology at the door and join us in some great conversation around the table." I think you'll find yourself having a wonderful evening, and you'll remember what it was like when we just used to sit around and talk to each other for hours without being interrupted with a beep or a buzz or a vibrate or a ring or anything like that. It'll be kind of nice. Hey, when I last left you, I wanted to talk to you about some of the financial advice in a language you can understand that I provided to a bunch of kids, or students, I should say, at North Andover High School this past week. A couple times a year, I get invited to do a one-hour lecture in the personal finance class at North Andover High School. And this year was same as every other year, where we talked to them about what it costs to live on your own. And I began to ask the kids, what do you think it costs if you wanted to move out and rent an apartment? And what's kind of interesting to me is that most kids have no idea. Sure, there are some kids that are at the high school who live in an apartment, and maybe they know what mom or dad pays for rent because they've talked about it. And I often find that folks that live in apartments or are on tighter budgets are more likely to share what things cost than do families that have better means or are more comfortable in their living arrangements. And I think that's unfortunate. I think we need to open up the purse a little bit and make sure that our children understand what things cost, because as I began to talk with these kids, I learned that there was a lot of mystery around what it is that parents, you and I, spend to support, you know, your general lifestyle in your house. And it was pretty eye-opening for these kids. So we first started by asking them, let's assume that at 28 years old, because at North Andover High School, they do this thing called a 10-year plan. They're asked to build what they imagine their life to look like in 10 years. And so we're going to use an example of an income of $40,000 a year at age 28. Most of the kids are thinking, wow, if I could make $40,000 a year, I'd be rich. Well, maybe you're laughing about that, but kids certainly weren't, because they saw when I broke it down that $400 a year is almost $800 a week. And they said, oh my goodness, if I could make $800 a week, that would be amazing. Well, we said, let's live with that and let's see how amazing this all feels when you have a $40,000 income and you have to live on your own or have to live outside of the house. So we talked about renting, and we said, let's imagine that a two-bedroom apartment costs $2,000. And what that would mean is that the $2,000 would be split between you and a roommate. So they figured, all right, I can handle $1,000 a month, especially if I'm making $40,000 a year, because they figured that at $40,000 a year, that's about $3,200 a month. and $3,200 minus, you take $1,000 off of that, they go, oh man, I still have $2,200. And then I had to remind them about something, is that chances are, very good chances, that if you're making $3,200 a month or $40,000 a year, you're probably not walking home with $3,200. So we started to talk about taxes. And this is something that made the kids feel very uncomfortable. They didn't understand why they have to pay taxes. And we started talking about what FICA was. We explained to them about the Social Security and Medicare tax that all of us have to pay regardless of income. And then we talked about the state and federal taxes that are owed to the government, and that there is a certain amount of taxes that are deducted from your pay. Now, that may be an overestimate or an underestimate that's taken from your paycheck, and that usually works itself out when you file your taxes at the end of the year. But nonetheless, unless you're managing your taxes very carefully, you will find yourself with not the full amount that you thought you were making at work coming home to you. And so the kids begin to realize that with a $3,200 a month gross income, because we were using $40,000 as their annual salary, they realize, oh my goodness, I almost have to pay about $800 out of that $3,200 in taxes, and then another $1,000 in rent. Well, that's almost $2,000. $2,000 off of $3,200 leaves me with only $1,200. And so then we said, all right, well, what are some of the other expenses that you have to be worried about paying for when you live on your own? And so the kids start throwing out numbers. They say, well, you got to pay for heat and electric. And I said, well, what does that cost? And they didn't know. They said, well, I got to pay for cable, or I have to pay for my streaming services, or I have to pay for my phone, or I have to pay for food. What does all that cost? I don't know. They don't know. At some point, it's our responsibility as parents to expose our kids to what the costs are in real life. And after we start talking about, well, if you're going to move out, you have to have a car, you have to have insurance, you got to buy gas, you got to deal with repairs. What if you get a speeding ticket? How about the cost of all this makeup product or health and beauty aids or whatever else it might be? You want to buy clothes, right? You want to have shoes and you want nice gloves and a coat in the winter and a hat. You got to buy all those things. Where's all that money going to come from? And it scares them. Now, someone said to me, Mr. Friedman, you're scaring us. You're giving me anxiety. And I said, that's exactly what I was hoping to do today. So if you have it, then I am successful. Because one of the things that I want you to do today, I want you to think about all the expenses, all of the stuff that we've talked about, and think to yourself, if you're having the anxiety for me just talking to you about it, imagine the anxiety that your parents must have every day when you say, I need another pair of sneakers, or I need another coat because my coat isn't fashionable anymore, or I need you to buy me tickets so I can go to this concert with my friends, or I need. I said, well, what I need you to do, and what I hope you will do from today's exercise, is that you'll go home today and you'll look around your house and you'll begin to appreciate the food that's in the refrigerator, the nice dishes that you get to use to eat food off of, the nice furniture that exists, the couch, the big screen TV, the wireless connectivity that you have in your home, the rugs, the heat, the electricity, the fact that there's food to eat, there's places to sleep, there's comfort and warmth and pictures and everything else in your home. And you'll talk to your folks, and maybe just for a brief moment, when they say to you, hey, how was school today? You'll say to them, you know, something interesting happened at school today. We had a guest speaker come into our personal finance class, and he began to expose us and talk to us about how expensive it is to live. And he asked us to think about what it would cost if we wanted to move out. And it scared me because I began to realize how expensive everything is. And as I look around the house and I look about what I have and all about the things that I ask you to buy for me and ask you to get for me, all I want to say is thank you. And these kids looked at me like I was nuts. I said, you know what? The best gift you could ever give to your parents is to say thank you, is to show them that you appreciate what they've done, with some sincerity, of course. It's not about buying them another present. It's not even about, I don't know. It's not about buying them stuff. It's not about sometimes even putting the dishes away. It's about saying thank you. It's about expressing appreciation. That's what parents want more than anything else. I said, that's the secret to success at Thanksgiving, at Christmas time. And I will tell you, I also said to the kids, I said, look, I could feel pretty confident that if you talk to your parents with the greatest level of sincerity and tell them how much you appreciate all they do and what you realize from this class, my guess is they're going to feel a little bit better about thinking about what it is that they could do for you around the holidays, around Christmas time, around Hanukkah. And maybe you might get a little upgrade on the present too. Yeah, you know, it kind of helped to motivate them a little bit to step forward and really thank parents for it. You know, we talked a lot about a lot of other things in this class. And one of the things that I shared with them was the fact that we live in a society where we are now conditioned to pay for convenience. And the kids didn't quite understand what I meant by that. I had asked them the question about how many of them have a debit card, and every student in that class raised their hand and they said, we have a debit card. I said, do you ever use that debit card at an ATM machine? And of course, almost every hand went up. And I know I've talked about this before, but the answers that I got from the students in this class were similar to the other answers that I've gotten in years past. I asked the students, I said, how much does it cost to take money out of the ATM machine? And the general answer was $2.50, $3, $1.75. And I'm looking around the class and I'm just letting them talk, and they're all answering. They're all kind of nodding their head. And then sure enough, one student says, it doesn't cost anything. Wait a minute. Did someone just say it doesn't cost anything to take money out of an ATM? And she says, yeah. And the kids all turn their head towards this girl that's sitting in the back of the room. And she says, if you take money out of your own bank's ATM, there's no charge. And the kid's like, well, yeah, of course, but who's got time to go to their own bank? And I said, wait a second. Here's one of the problems. Students today are in the business of living in the moment. They don't plan and think ahead about anything. If you know that you need money in your pocket over the weekend, doesn't it make sense to stop at the bank, at the ATM that's connected to your bank before you go out for the night? And someone said, who has time for that? You know, we're picking up kids and we're going to different places. There's always an ATM at the pizza shop, or always an ATM at the convenience store. There's always an ATM somewhere around where they can get money. And I said, just out of curiosity, how much money on average do you take out of the ATM machine? And almost unanimously, the students would say $20. $20 they're taking out of the ATM machine, yet they're willing to pay $2, $3, and $5 for cash. I said, I will make that deal with you any day of the week. I said, I will give you $20 right now if you're willing to give me $25. And that's what you're doing. You're paying $5, paying $3 to have $20. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, and a few eyes opened up. And a few eyes opened up because kids were thinking to themselves, well, wait a second. I might go to the ATM 3 and 4 times a week to take out $20. If I'm going to pay a fee, maybe it makes sense to take out $80 or $100 at a time and manage my money a little bit better. So we got into that conversation. Folks, this is great stuff to have with the kids. We opened their eyes up and they were really beginning to learn about something. And I could see they were getting it. But there was more. There was so much more that we taught to them. And I want to share with you some more of these pieces of what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. We got to take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to continue to tell you some more about these stories. And I also want to talk to you about a report that's recently come out that talks about who the wealthiest Americans are. And I think you might be surprised that you, those of you who are listening to this radio show, might be amongst them. We got to take a quick break. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Since 1989, more than a million New Englanders have come to Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater to listen for those two wonderful words that mean Christmas is here.
Bah.
Join Ebenezer Scrooge, Tiny Tim, and the area's largest cast of actors, singers, and revelers for the 29th annual production of A Christmas Carol. In this lavish musical adaptation of the Charles Dickens classic, you'll see Victorian England come to vibrant life accompanied by a live orchestra and a dazzling array of ghostly special effects. See the show the Boston Globe has called flawless and spellbinding for all ages. North Shore Music Theater's production of A Christmas Carol plays from December 6th through the 22nd only. Get your tickets today at nsmt.org. Sponsored by Market Street Linfield.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. Hey, some good news about the restaurants and things that are going on. You know how much I love Alto Forno. It's just above my office. But, you know, Alto Forno is also connected to Palana Restaurant and Daniela's. Palana, one of the greatest steakhouses around, generally only open in the winter time, only open for dinner time. Well, starting December 1st, they're open for lunch, too. So if you want to get over there, one of my favorite things to get at Palana, and no, they don't pay me to say this. I just like talking about restaurants. They have this thing called a peppercorn hamburger. It is awesome. It's one of my favorite things on their menu. So definitely swing over there. Tell them I sent you, and you'll enjoy Palana Restaurant. Anyways, when I last left you, I was sharing with you some financial advice in a language you can understand. That's what we do here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on North Shore 104.9. I'm sharing with you some stories about a presentation that I deliver in the high schools. And North Andover High School invites me back a couple times a year to talk to their personal finance class to give them a real-life conversation. You know, it's nice to put pen to paper and see what compound interest is all about and learn about income and expenses and what a cash flow report is and what a net worth statement is. But when you put it into practical use, the kids begin to all of a sudden have these aha moments that relate to real life right now. And with Thanksgiving just a few days away, it's my hope that some of these ideas that I'm sharing with you on the radio are ideas that you might use to spark a conversation around the Thanksgiving Day table to try to bring the kids, bring your adult kids into the loop on what's really going on. You know, I always remember for Thanksgiving, there was the adult table and the kids table, and then there's always those tweeners that you're just not sure where to put them. Do they go to the kids table or do they finally graduate to the adult table? What age does that finally happen? Well, I think these kids that are in high school really need to have to be part of some of these adult conversations. And so one of the ideas that I share with the kids in the high school is this concept of convenience. And kids don't understand how much we are willing to pay for convenience, unlike how we didn't pay for convenience years before. I mean, who in our lifetime would have ever thought about paying for a convenience fee for a movie ticket? Or for a show, I mean, you can now order your tickets online, let's say for, I don't know, Showcase Cinemas or use some of these apps that are out there. And you see, you can order your tickets, but you pay a convenience fee. But you could have just as easily gone to the theater and bought the tickets. But now, you know, there's the convenience of being able to buy it in advance. There's the convenience of being able to have food delivered to your house. There's all these conveniences that we're willing to pay for. You know, when we were growing up, we were okay cutting our own lawn, shoveling our own driveway, and even drinking water out of the garden hose. But today, God forbid you do any of those things, it seems. We're happier to pay somebody to do these services. And you know what? Sometimes when they do the services, they're not nearly as good as we would have done them ourselves. But here's one of the things that we do that blows me away. coffee is one of those amazing things that we have conditioned ourselves now to believe that we are willing to pay for the experience of coffee rather than brew coffee in our house. Remember how popular the Mr. Coffee machine was years ago? Who even owns a Mr. Coffee anymore? Maybe one or two of you are listening to the show still have a Mr. Coffee. But maybe you have now a Keurig in your house because you wanted the convenience of not having to dump that filter in the coffee. You wanted to just have the pod to make your coffee. And honestly, we have a Keurig at our home too, but I actually think that the fresh brewed coffee tastes a heck of a lot better than the pods do. So that's a little bit more of a cost, but most of us are running to Starbucks, running to Dunkin' Donuts, willing to stand in line for a cup of coffee that probably costs them about 2 cents or 3 cents to make. In fact, what you're paying more for is the cost of the cup than you are what you're paying for the liquid that's in it. And we'll pay a premium price. But you know what? We do that because we can, because we're making money. Because we're allowed to make choices in our lives that say, I want to spend money for this, or I don't want to spend much money for that. But we've set this new standard, and our kids are watching. Our kids run every morning now before they go to high school and stop at Dunkin' Donuts or stop at Starbucks. And they're willing to pay. They're not getting just black coffee either, are they? They get what I call the foofy drinks. They get their frappuccinos and their macchiatos and their lattes and their soy milk and their almond butter and all this other kind of stuff that they throw into their drinks. And it costs them $4 or $5 a piece. And so when I'm talking to these kids in class and we're talking about what it costs to move out and costs to pay rent and utilities and food and health and beauty aids and phone and wireless internet, I help them begin to realize how much just a silly cup of coffee in the morning costs. And if they're paying $5 a day, that's, and if they're doing it 5 days a week, sometimes even 7 days a week, but 5 days a week, that's $25. That's $100 a month. And so one of the kids says to me, well, I don't pay $5. My coffee costs $4.38. I laughed and I said, oh, by the way, what do you do with the change? Oh, I leave it as a tip. As a tip. Come on. They're making coffee for you. That is their job. They're not working for $2 or $3 like a typical waiter or waitress is in a restaurant. These people working the counters are pouring coffee for you. And you think they deserve a 20 or 30% tip based upon your $4.28 or $4.38 coffee? The kids think nothing of it. They just have this free money to throw around. We have an obligation to teach them about responsibility. And so one of the things that I do is show them about how easily we're willing to pay for convenience is I pull out 3 bottles of Dasani water. You know what Dasani water looks like. I pull out 3 bottles and I drop it in front of them. And I said, this Dasani bottle of water costs 20 cents. I said, this bottle of Dasani water, the second one, which looks exactly like the first one, this one costs $1.49. And this third bottle of Dasani water, well, this one, it costs $4.50. And one girl in the class this week raises her hand and she says to me, where can you get a water for 20 cents? And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? This is the problem. They're thinking about water. The way you buy water is individualized with money. I mean, some of the other kids helped her understand that the 20 cents that I was referring to was you could go to Stop and Shop on Market Basket or Shaw's and buy a 24-pack of Dasani water for $5. And that's how you get your 20 cents a bottle. And yes, yes, you could buy water even cheaper. You know, sometimes Market Basket has different types of waters for $2.99 a pack or $3.99 a pack. I said, what's the cost? How about this middle one that costs $1.49? Why does it cost $1.49? Where would you spend that kind of money? And someone says, well, you know, at a convenience store or at a pizza shop or whatever. I said, exactly. You know what water that is? That's the water, by the way. That water is the water that you say to mom or dad, you say, I'm thirsty, can you pull over and get me a water? How often have you done that? and we pull over and you get a water and you mom and dad pay a dollar and a half for something that, had you thought ahead, had you really planned appropriately, you could have grabbed a bottle that was in the house that would have cost 20 cents. But no, we're willing to pay a dollar and a half. And how about the $4.50 water? Where is that water? What makes that water so much more special? Well, that water, of course, can be purchased at Fenway Park, at the TD Garden, at any type of sporting event, celebrity event, concert, etc. And I said, why does it cost $4.50? In fact, this one water here costs more than an entire case of water that you could buy at Stop and Shop. Why do we buy that water? And they began to realize it's because it's a convenience. I said, what it also is, it's an economic principle. An economic principle that's called supply and demand. When there's greater demand for the supply that's available, people will pay more money. And there's great demand when you go to a concert and you want a water and you only have a few choices, actually one choice, where you can buy that beverage and they can charge whatever they want. And so the kids began to realize that when they're on their own, will they think a little bit more? Will they plan ahead? Will they be a bit more thoughtful when it comes time to spending money? I asked them in the class, I said, imagine you go to a restaurant. Now, this got a big laugh out of the kids. Imagine you go out to eat, and we go out to eat more than we've ever gone out to eat before. You go out with your parents, you open up the menu, and you say, I'm going to get an onion soup, maybe, and maybe you get an entree, and maybe even want dessert. But then you decide to go with your friends. High school kids, going with your friends, and you say, oh, we're going to go to the 99. We're going to go to the 99. When you know the money's coming out of your pocket, don't you generally just kind of hang out around the appetizer menu, the cheapest thing on the menu? You don't bother with the entrees anymore because it's coming out of your own pocket. All of a sudden, when we're faced with having to make responsible decisions for ourselves, we oftentimes become a little bit more thoughtful about how everything costs, or what everything costs. But when other people are paying, we're willing to splurge a little bit because we're splurging on somebody else's dime. And so I once again remind the kids, maybe it wouldn't hurt to go back and talk to mom and dad and think to yourself, huh, maybe I should say thank you. Maybe I could express some appreciation because I just learned something that I didn't know before about how much things cost and how much mom and dad must agonize over how are we going to continue to pay for food and housing costs and living arrangements and perhaps my college based upon the income that they make. It might make you want to think about how much money are mom and dad making. And then the scarier part, when you think to yourself, oh my God, how much are they making? How much are they spending? The third part that most kids aren't even thinking about these days is how much are mom and dad saving? How much are you putting aside for your future? Because as I told the kids, at some point in your life, you'll want to retire. Maybe it's 65, maybe it's 70, whatever the year is. But remember, retirement means you're not working anymore. I asked them, how many of you have grandparents? And many of the kids raised their hands. How many of your grandparents aren't working anymore? And many of them raised their hands. I said, where are your grandparents getting income to give you gifts? To live in the home that they're in, to buy food that they have, to travel, to do what they want to do. And they said, well, it must be coming from savings. And yes, some of the kids had heard about Social Security and pension, but the bulk of it has got to come from savings. Those people, those grandparents, they saved money. How will we build a strategy? How will we teach our kids that not only do they need to earn money and they need to spend money to support themselves, but will they also save money? That is what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. And I hope those are issues that you'll bounce off of your kids, perhaps even this week around the Thanksgiving Day table. We got to take a quick break. But when we get back, I want to talk to you about who are the 1%ers in America. Who are the most wealthy individuals in America? I think you're going to be extraordinarily surprised with the results that come from a research study that was done. I think you'll be surprised that you, yeah, you, may be among them. We got to take a quick break. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has provided financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore. At Friedman Financial, we know that planning for your retirement is overwhelming. Don't leave this important decision to chance, or even worse, the algorithms of a faceless technology solution. Our certified financial planner professionals meet with you face-to-face to know you and your retirement goals. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, meet with a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in person. You deserve a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your retirement plan. To learn more, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area since 1968. Yeah, that's right. My father started our firm back then, almost 52 years ago. My dad started the business. Financial planning and investment management, what it looks like today is far different from what it looked like back then. I remember my dad telling me back in the late 60s and early 70s how he would go door to door visiting with clients collecting $25 a week or $100 a month so that money could be saved in investment accounts. Well, the world has changed quite a bit. We're relying more and more on technology, but the reason and the rationale for visit face-to-face with financial advisors is growing greater than ever before, especially for those that are approaching their retirement years and those that are in retirement. Look, when you're young, the best advice you can provide to any student, to any 20-year-old, any 30-year-old, is to say, whatever you do, take 10% of your pay and invest it. Put it aside for your future. Don't save it for use a year from now or 2 years from now. Put it aside in an investment account that you will never touch, that you're not going to touch at least for 30, 40, 50 years. You'll be amazed at how quickly that can all add up. In fact, this past week, I was at North Andover High School and I was showing the students the power of compounding. And I said to them, I showed them an example that said, if you were 15 years old and between 15, 16, 17, and 18 years, those 4 years, if you could figure out a way to muster a summer job, collect birthday money, whatever it was, and put $1,000 away each year at 15, 16, 17, and 18 years of age, and you invested it in an account that could earn you 7%, and there's no guarantee that you're going to get the 7%. This is purely hypothetical, but that could earn you 7%. Did you know that at age 65, you could have $108,000. And they thought, wow, that's pretty amazing. Though they did wonder how they'd get $1,000 at 15, 16, 17, and 18. Then I said, all right, I want you to imagine this. Now you're a little bit older. At 25, 26, 27, and 28, you do the same thing. Put $1,000 aside, earning 7%. How much money will you have at age 65? And they were surprised to learn that the answer was $50,000. The point that I was trying to make to them was how important it is to start saving early and often. I don't care how much money it is. Put some money aside, put dollars aside, make it worth your while, that you're committing yourself and you're setting yourself up to a condition that says, I will pay myself first. Putting 10% of your money aside, of your earnings aside, is one of the greatest things that you could ever, greatest pieces of advice, I think, that you could ever get. Put it aside, put it in a way, as money you don't see is money you won't spend. And that's what we do at Friedman Financial. We're all about providing financial advice to individuals and families all around the North Shore and Merrimack Valley. We provide both financial planning and investment management advice. Yeah, we manage a lot of money, close to $500 million. And there's more than 450 households that we serve, and generations and generations and generations of families. And I'll be very honest with you, they're not the super wealthy of the world. They're average folks just like you and me, who worked hard to put money aside, who want to make sure that they can continue to live the lifestyle to which they've grown accustomed, but they're just not quite sure how to do it. Because in retirement, it's really tough to start spending money that you've accumulated. It's a lot easier to spend money when you know money's coming in through a job or through some kind of a cash flow program. But when you're retired and the paycheck stops, and maybe you'll have pension or a Social Security check, but you have to then draw upon the assets that you've accumulated, and you worry to yourself, oh my goodness, am I going to run out of money? Those are conversations that you need to have open and honestly. And we provide guidance to many, many people. 65% of our clients, in fact, are retired. They're drawing money from their investment accounts to support and supplement their income so that they can fulfill and live the lifestyle that they've grown accustomed. And I will tell you this. The vast majority of the clients, in fact, I can only think of one client in my 28 years of business who has ever run out of money. And that's because they were reckless in the way they saved their money. But 99% of people are methodical. They're responsible. When they talk it through, they got to understand what it is that they can do and what it is that they can't do. Yeah, sure, you can take some risks here and there, but that's not about risks of investments. It's about taking risks of how you want to spend your money. And I think these days, more and more than ever before, people have more resources than they ever possibly imagined they'd have. And they just don't know how to manage them appropriately. They don't know how to use them so that they can fulfill and live the lifestyle that they want in retirement. And we can help you do that. If now is the time for you to get serious about financial planning, I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to meet with you at our office. Our office hours are 8:30 to 5 in Peabody. We schedule a free initial consultation for anybody who wants to come in and talk with us. But the best way to get started is to give our office a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. No one's in the office today, but give our office a call on Monday. Jody will answer the phone. She'll screen you a little bit, talk to you a bit about the way we work in our office. And perhaps we'll invite you to come in and it'll be appropriate to sit down. If you want to learn a little bit more about what it means to work with Friedman Financial, I want to point you to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of the page of any of the pages on our website, and you can sign up for our newsletter. But at the very top of the website, you'll see a tab that says, learn more about Friedman Financial. And you'll pull up a PDF document that talks about, here's what to expect in initial consultation. Here's what you might want to consider bringing to an initial consultation. Here's what the experience is going to be like. I want you to feel great about the conversation that we're going to have. And I will assure you of this. You will not feel any way obligated to sign on with our firm, to become a client of our firm. I want you to feel good first. Because at the end of every initial consultation, one of the things that we do is we send you a thank you note. And that thank you note is not just some boilerplate thank you note. It's a note that recaps what we talked about. It's a note that talks about the items that you said were most important to you. And it also shares, here's how we believe we can help you. And if that triggers a reason for you to say, hey, I'd like to move forward, then we'll look forward to working with you. If not, that's okay. No harm, no foul. We want to do you a service. I want to give you financial advice in a language you can understand so that you can be best prepared for your financial future. Now, as promised, I told you I would tell you about this report that came out that talks about income and who the top 10% of income earners are in America. And if you earn the numbers that I'm going to share with you, and I think you're going to be surprised, you might be amongst the top 10% most wealthy income earners in America. So get this. Household income. In order to be in the top 10% of income earners in America, as a household income, it's $178,000 as a household income. So if your household income is greater than $178,000, and frankly, that just isn't earned income. Maybe you get it from dividends. Maybe it's distributions from your IRA. Maybe you get trust income. Whatever it is that you're earning, if your adjusted gross income at the bottom of the 1040 form on your tax return exceeds $178,000, you are amongst the 10% most wealthy households in America. But what if you're single? And there are a lot of single people out there. Did you know that if you're male, if you make more than $135,000, you're considered amongst the most 10% wealthy Americans from an income standpoint. And female workers, now I know we have the income inequality issue and we want to make sure that women are getting paid as much as men are, but I'm just reporting the statistics here. If you're a woman and you make more than $90,742, you are among the most 10% highest paid women in America. That number surprises me. I think if I would have asked you how much do you need to make to be part of the 10%, the top 10% income earners, I think people would think it's much higher than that. Well, what might surprise you is to be among the top 1% in household income. The top 1%. It's $434,000. Yes, that's a lot of money. It is a lot of money from an income standpoint. But to be in the top 1%, when you hear the term the 1%ers, these are folks that are making $434,000, or households making $434,000 or more. Now, I will tell you, in fact, I can assure you that those that are making $434,000 don't feel like they're among the 1% most wealthy, because there are people that are making $43 million a year, and they all get bunched into the same category. How can you do that? They're not all part of the same 1%, but they are. That's what the statistics say. But you know, I've always said that I think it's important to not judge one's wealth by what they make, because what somebody makes means nothing to me. What someone keeps is what's significant. So here's the numbers, folks. From a net worth standpoint, in order to be considered amongst the 10% most wealthy Americans from a net worth standpoint, and by the way, net worth does not, under this study, does not include your home. It includes investment accounts, money in the bank, cash value of life insurance, retirement accounts, 401k plans, but not your primary residence. In order to be the most wealthy 10% in America, you need to have a net worth in excess of $1.182 million. It feels better. It feels better than the top 10% from an income standpoint. From a net worth standpoint, if you're in the top 10%, if you've got a net worth of $1.182 million, you want to be in the top 1%? If you want to be in the considered the 1%ers, people that have investments and bank accounts and assets, to be part of the top 1%, you need to have $10 million or more. And by the way, to be in the top 0.1%, or 0.1%, you need $43 million. Well, that's something for you to munch on for a while. $43 million is one of these outrageous amounts of money, but some people have it, and good for you if you do. Congrats to you. But hey, if we can work hard to keep more of what we make so that we have more in the future, you will do far better in retirement, because the paycheck will soon stop, and you're going to have to come up with some answers. We got to get out of here. We're up against the clock. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Spend some time with the kids. Ask them some of these questions that we've talked about on the radio show today. Ask them how much they really understand what things really cost in America. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations.
options. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.